Now, I want you to listen to something here in 1 Corinthians, okay? Because this is something people hate. They hate with a passion. They hate being exposed, okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 23 to 25. This is a New American Standard. It's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly the difference between tongues and prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, 23 to 25, okay? Paul says, if therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you're all mad? But if all prophesy, an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Okay? See that the secrets of his heart are disclosed through prophecy. That's one of the benefits of prophecy in a local assembly. Paul said, if all prophesy, then when an unbeliever comes into the room, there's a good chance the secrets of his heart are disclosed. That means through the gift of prophecy, the Lord's going to expose the secrets. Okay, a person who has never seen this guy before, stand up and start prophesying, start speaking the word of the Lord, and that prophecy will contain details that only God and that person himself knows. And that guy will know that God is moving, God is talking. You know, so in other words, God shows one person the secrets of another person's heart, or the secrets of another person's life. All right, ouch. That kind of Christianity, nobody wants anything to do with. Okay, they don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. See, they don't. People, Christians don't mind if we, as long as we all consider ourselves in the same boat. That is, you know, we all walk around saying, you know, oh, I'm a weak, sinful person. I'm just a sinner like you. I got my problems just like you got your problems. I'm no better than you, which is true. I'm just saying, they like that. Some of them can even handle being corrected, as long as it's in a doctrinal framework. You know, they can handle a doctrine being corrected, somewhat. So, but when God uses you to expose their secret things, secret motives, secret sins, some secret idolatry, or some demon spirit they're walking under, oh, buddy, the whole story changes. All of a sudden, they bare their teeth, and they say, judge me, pal. How do you know this thing's an idol in my life? Who told you? Where do you get off telling me that my motive was wrong for saying or doing that thing? How could you possibly know my motive? Only God knows that kind of stuff. But God reveals that kind of stuff when you're being led by the Spirit. See, we have the ability to hear the God's voice directly, and we can be led by the Spirit directly. We also have the ability to be told secret things. And those things don't come from the Bible. They can't. Because you deal with people who are alive now. People you're dealing with now. God will tell us secret things about other people in order to protect us. In order to protect us. All right, and sometimes in order to help them. But many of those who profess to be Christians right now, they're very wicked. They profess Christ, but they're very wicked inside. And they don't want exposed. And they're hypocrites. Are trying to hide their wickedness with doctrines which say it's not possible for us to see the secret things that are in their life. Because only God sees those things. Well, the only problem is that doctrine, that idea, contradicts what's written in the Scripture we just read. Just a matter of prophecy. A prophecy can reveal the secret things of the heart. And the Scripture says that we ought to be like Jesus in this world. It also says we're being conformed to his image of Jesus in this life, okay? Well, behold the image of the one we're to be conformed to. Matthew 9, 2 through 7. And behold, they brought him a sick man with palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore, when your hearts? Or whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go in thy house. And he rose and departed, okay? Within themselves, they weren't talking to each other, they were thinking to themselves, this guy's blaspheming. And he says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Luke 9, 46 through 48, New American Standard Version says, and an argument arose among them as to which of them might be the greatest, that's the disciples, the 12 disciples. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side and said to them, whosoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whosoever receives me receives him who sent me, for he was least among you. This is the one who is great. Knowing what they were thinking in their heart, He took a child and said, okay. He knows, he knew what they're thinking in their heart. And the last one was Luke 11:14-20. Luke 11:14-20 says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from the heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every house divided, a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. Okay? Jesus had the ability to know the thoughts of people's hearts. Where did that ability come from? It came from his ability to hear the Spirit directly and be led by the Spirit directly. He wasn't walking around like some occult ritual reading people's minds. The Holy Spirit knows the heart. Then the Holy Spirit searches the heart, searches the reins, searches the minds, searches the motives. And the Holy Spirit, at times, is what somebody's thinking. You know, what the motive was, what they're doing. See? The Holy Spirit knew what these people are thinking. The Holy Spirit knows the secret things of our lives. And he often reveals those secret things to Jesus. He often revealed them to Jesus, okay? Jesus didn't come to know the thoughts of the people's hearts by reading and studying the Torah, by going to the synagogue every Saturday. He could only know that kind of thing as the Holy Spirit revealed it to him directly. And I say again, most of God's people hate this kind of Christianity. They hate this kind of walk because they don't want to be exposed like that. It's a threat to them. As long as you walk beside these kinds of people and say, oh, yes, brother, I'm a sinner just like you, they'll put up with you. But when you come to them like Nathan the prophet did to King David, and you say, thou art the man, repent of this secret wickedness. Oh, that's a different story. That's a different story. You instantly become the bad guy, and they turn on you like a rabid dogs. You're instantly accused of being an unloving, judgmental person who's sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. And when you try to tell them, hey, the Holy Spirit showed me this. The Holy Spirit showed me that secret thing in your life, and it needs to be dealt with, and he showed it to you because he's trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. They say, you're crazy. God doesn't do that kind of thing. God doesn't show you my sin. God doesn't show you my motives. He doesn't show you what's in my heart. I have news for you. God does things like that all the time. I mean, he shows us the secret things of people in order to protect us. To protect us from liars. To protect us from hypocrites. To protect us from those who are deceived but don't realize they're deceived. He also shows us the secret things of men's hearts so they can receive deliverance and come forth in Christ. Not only is it hypocritical to say we should strive to be like Jesus in this life, come forth in his image, but then turn around and say we can't be led by the Spirit directly, only by the Bible. It's even worse to tell us that we can't even walk as other men in the New Testament, just regular men like Paul and Peter. In Acts 13, we'll give you a scripture here. In Acts 13, 6 through 11, this is the New American Standard again. Acts 13, 6 through 11, this is what it says. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of the Lord, or the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for this his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, you are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind and not see for the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Okay, now tell me, which Bible verse did Paul read in order to know how to handle that situation? I mean, did he whip out his pocket Torah and try to find some verse that would be relevant to the situation? No? I mean, the writer of Acts says he was, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him to do exactly what he did. Talked directly to Paul, gave Paul the wisdom and discernment and to know what to do at that moment. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Acts 14, 8-10. Again, New American Standard. And at Lystra, there was sitting a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him, and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet," and he leaped up and began to walk. Okay, Paul saw that he had seen when he had faith, he saw this guy had faith to be made well. And again, what verse in the Bible did Paul read that enabled him to know that the man in that crowd had the faith to be healed? Did he whip out his pocket Torah and try to find some verse that would be relevant? No, the Holy Spirit let him know that one man, now that big crowd, there's one man there that was present, had the faith to be healed. And the Spirit of God pointed him out to Paul. When Peter announced the sudden death of Ananias because he had lied to the Holy Spirit, which verse of the Bible was Peter quoting from? Which passage was he getting his direction from? Okay, he wasn't getting his direction from the Scripture. He was getting it directly from the Holy Spirit. See, friends, in order for God to work through us and accomplish what he wants to do, accomplish his will in our lives, we must learn how to be led by the Spirit. Now, I don't mean just being led by the Spirit on the major issues or the major doctrines. I mean being led by the Spirit on each and every decision we make, even small ones like what clothes we wear, what gas station we stop at. That's how involved God wants to be in our lives. We don't realize God wants to be involved in our lives, in the details of our lives. That's what perfection. That's where perfection is actually going to come. Not these big trials, you know, when you're faced with persecution and you face losing your job. All these big trials people go to God for. When there's a big something big in your life, horrible, everybody runs to God. It's the small things you can handle. The small decisions, no problem for you to do. I can make the decision, no problem. I don't need God. It's those things you're going to bring us to perfection. Okay? It's those things God wants to be involved with. It's those things he's tested us on to see if we'll also yield in those areas. If we'll also lay down our life in those areas. The small areas, the things are inconsequential, right? Everybody goes to God when they lose their job, they lose, you know, they wreck their car or things like that. Everybody goes to God. All Christians go to God, but not all Christians go to God for the small things. God wants to be involved in our lives to that detail. That's what's going to take to walk in perfection, to go on and come to the fullness of Jesus. The problem is not that people can't learn how to be led by the Spirit this way. The problem is they don't want to learn how to be led by the Spirit that way, because after all, what if the Spirit asks them to do things they don't want to do or they don't like? What if the Spirit asks them strange in the eyes of the average person or the average Christian? If they really learn to be led by the Spirit, they know deep down in their heart he's going to take them out of their comfort zone. Okay, and they don't want that. All right. The fact is many today's Christians don't want to know the truth. They don't want to learn how to be led by the Spirit because of what it's going to cost them. They know deep down inside it's going to cost them and not willing to pay the price. So God gives them what they want. He gives them good excuse not to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Right? He gives them religious leaders who think they know everything because they study the Bible. And those leaders tell them day and night that being led by the Spirit, the way the apostles were led by the Spirit, isn't really possible anymore. And even if it was, it would be much too dangerous of a walk to pursue because it's so easy to hear the wrong voice, get the wrong kind of feeling, get the flesh mixed up with the Spirit. Too dangerous. Much safer. Just stick with the Bible. Stick with Bible study. God will speak to you through the Bible. And that's true. Okay. Yes, God will continue to make it to you speak to us through the Bible. No problem. He does do that. But unless we learn how to be led by the Spirit, in truth, not just in talk, we're never formed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're never going to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in this life. We must be led by the Spirit, people. I'm not saying we shouldn't be led by the Bible at all. God speaks us to the Scripture. But he also speaks us through directly. And there's certain things you got to get from the Scripture. You got to get your doctrine from the Scripture. You can't be led by the Spirit and your doctrine. You just can't walk around hearing God give your doctrine out of thin air. Okay, that's what the Bible's there for. You get your doctrine and your knowledge of what God's like, his history, his people, what he wants for his people, his plan. You get all that from the Bible. But in life, in these situations, dealing with people, not coming under people, walking in safety, walking in wisdom, that has to come by the Spirit, by direct communication with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And if you lose either of those halves, you take away either of those things, you're going to end up in some kind of deception. You take away the Bible, you're going to end up in doctrine deception. You're going to get some kind of doctrine out of the thin air. Your doctrine's going to be all messed up. If you take away be led by the Spirit directly, you'll never walk in the kind of protection and the kind of life God has for you. So it's a satanic trap to pit hearing God through the Scripture against hearing God directly. He speaks to us both ways. They both have a certain aspect in our life that must be done that way. And you take one away, that's going to leave a hole. It's going to leave a big hole there that can't be replaced by anything else. It's very important to be led by the Spirit, especially in these days And there's people out there that are saying, you know, that's wrong. That's dangerous. You can't be led by the Spirit. If you try to be led by the Spirit, you're going to end up like C. Peter Wagner. You're going to end up like Mike Bickle. You're going to end up like Rick Joyner. You're going to end up like all these false prophets who have been deceived by their own voice. But see, all those people have been deceived because they don't give a rip what the Bible says. They're following the voices they're hearing and the experiences they're experiencing, and they disregard the Bible. They're not making sure that their experiences and their doctrines, and their experiences and the voice they're hearing are lining up with the Bible. Okay? Like, for instance, this whole, all these visions and dreams and revelations they got about the dominionism, taking the kingdom, establishing God's kingdom before Jesus comes back, that's totally against the Scripture. You can't put that in Scripture. You can't get that out of Scripture. If they cared about what the Bible said, they would take all those visions and all those dreams, all that revelation, and they would sit down and see if it squares with the Scripture. And if it doesn't, they would check it out. But they don't care. Well, the same thing with fundamentalists. They care about what the Scripture says. They don't care about anything else. And so they get caught up in experiential delusion because their whole thing is doctrine. Well, first of all, half their doctrine's wrong anyway. their doctrine's all screwed up anyway if they think it's right. But even if their doctrine was right all the way around, 100% right, they would still get messed up in experiential deception because they're not being led. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're not being protected every day on how they interact with people and these spirits they're trying to get us. So it's very important that we get both these aspects. Be led. We hear the God through the Bible, but we hear God directly. There's a certain thing that each one of them fulfills in our life. We must have both, okay? All right. That was tonight's thing, I guess. If anybody has anything to share, I guess I got it off my chest. I got a brother that's going through this with these people that are saying, oh, no, you can't be led by the Spirit. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want to hear it. I guess I'm encouraging this guy just as much as everybody else once he hears it. So if anybody has anything to share or add to that or questions or anything else, go, feel free. Please step up. I get a little excited sometimes to start yelling. I'm sorry because it's so frustrating. Such a frustrating situation. So if I was yelling, I'm sorry. If I was talking too fast, I'm sorry. You can download the notes and you get anything you miss as far as my fault. Go ahead, Irma. You got the mic. Go ahead.
I'm going out on a limb by faith tonight, Dan. I didn't have anything for the program, but when you started talking on this, I just was envisioned with how the Lord led me. When he led me out of used, and I feel like it was such a timing because the last days, and you were talking on the book of Revelation and following the Spirit, and when God called me out of the church in Revelation 20, it was so real to me that he said, to be separate, I'm going to lead you, come out from among them, the unclean spirit, the cage of unclean birds, and I will and follow the Lamb whithersoever he leadeth, and I will lead you by my Spirit, for the Spirit giveth life, and the letter killeth, and that we will need the Spirit to be not deceived in the last days when Satan is out. He's out in such power now to deceive the very elect. And I just was so thrilled. And you also enlightened me on these trumpets and the time. And it was just so beautiful to me. And it just encouraged me. And I know what it is to follow the Spirit, and I praise God for that, for the witness of the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide us into all truth, and that will help me to keep from deception in this last day. And I just was blessed tonight, and I just wanted to say, keep sounding the alarm in Zion, and God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Irma. Appreciate it. You know, the other day I was driving to a little place to go shopping for something, and I had my Christmas music on, and that song from Selah came on, O Come, Emmanuel. And that one line in there, every time I hear that one line, I just break down and cry. It says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, come, free thy people from Satan's tyranny. Free thy people from Satan's tyranny. You know, the natural Jewish people are still bound, and they're under the hand of Satan's tyranny. And most of spiritual Israel, most of the church, is under Satan's hand and bound under his tyranny. And there's such a cry in my heart for God to come and free his people from Satan's tyranny that they're under. They just don't want free. They don't know they're bound. They don't know they're deceived. They don't know what they're missing. They're under the hand of the devil. they're under his tyranny. And whenever I hear that song, I just say, God, please send back Jesus to deliver your people from Satan's tyranny. That song is, whoever wrote that song was anointed. And those people say, I'll sing an anointed version of it too, but that song itself, the words were anointed. And that whoever wrote that song had a burden of the Spirit for God's people, you know. Because God's people, Israel, spiritual and natural, are still bound. And they still need set free. Well, anyway, I played that song over and over again for about 10 miles. I just played it over and over and over again. I don't know if anybody's ever done it, but it did. It just, it's something. It just, it reaches down to my heart to what I'm about, where I'm at. Okay. Anybody else have anything to share before we share down tonight, or anything to add or ask or anything? Welcome back, Jim. I'm glad you got in. Glad to have you back, bro. I read today there was a false revival going on. Uh-oh. Even the 700 Club is heralding as a great move of God. It's being compared to Lakeland. Jeez. Oh, well. What can I say? They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming because that's what it's all about, the end times. You know, this experiential deception. Experiential deception. The demon's sitting in the holy place, sitting in the God's temple. I think mom's coming. Yes, I know how you feel, Jim. That happens a lot to me. Hang on a second.
Hi, everyone. I just have something in my heart when Daniel was talking. You know, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And, you know, I've been hiding God's word in my heart for many, many years. And, you know, things that I learned maybe 30, 40 years ago that I haven't even heard about, haven't read about recently or heard about recently, the Spirit of God will speak to me and bring that word to my mind. And that's only the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. And I wake up in the morning and start meditating, and the Spirit of God will pull a word that's been deep down in my heart for 20 or 30 years that I haven't thought of, and bring it up to my mind and start speaking to me about it. It has something to do with my walk, someone else's walk, or something he wants me to know for this present truth. And I just marvel at that. I do. I just marvel at that, how God, because I've been with him for so many years, I just marvel at how he brings things to my remembrance that I learned when I was first saved. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I was encouraged this week as the Lord brought a scripture to my mind. I just wanted to share it. You know, Jesus said, "Whom he loves, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that comes to him." And this is a scripture I wanted to read to you. Second Peter 3:8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." Now, he's saying, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. With that in mind, the Lord brought this scripture to me that I hadn't read for a long, long time. Hosea said in chapter 6. He said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten us, and he will bind us up." And after 2 days, and keep in mind that a day is but 1,000 years, and after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day, that's the third millennial reign, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, we shall know his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And I thought, what an encouragement. It said Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That should help us endure the cross, that joy that's set before us and what he has in store for us. That's just something he spoke to me this week, and by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord that he sent his Holy Spirit to help us. Amen.
Amen. Oh, let's see. We got Harold or Judy? I don't know. Go ahead. You got the mic.
We're meditating this week on this time of the season when we're celebrating Jesus' birth. And, of course, we had this little discussion earlier, so I'm not necessarily going into that. But one of the things that kind of stuck out to me relating to where we're at today is that when Jesus came, there was a heralding of his appearing. After like 400 years of silence, nothing was heard from God to his people, and then all of a sudden, John the Baptist shows up on the scene, and he begins to declare that the Lord is coming. And the ones that heard him were not necessarily the religious people. They came to see the show, but they were not particularly interested in what he had to say. And I believe that kind of a thing is happening today. We're going to herald the return of Jesus when he comes back. This time he's coming back as king. And the message that we have today is that his first message of John the Baptist was he's going to save his people from their sins. The message today for those heralding his return is he's going to judge people for their sins, for their disobedience, for their unbelief, for their outright rebellion against what he wants to do in their lives. And that's the church people. They're the ones that's supposed to know. And so he's preparing this message. This is such a strong message that you've been giving us, and you keep giving it over and over and over again because that's the message for the hour, that there's deception out there. We need to be aware of it. We need to be able to hear truth. We need to be able to walk in the Spirit, that we need to be able to hear the Spirit. We need to understand what the Spirit of God is saying today to this people, to us individually. And we must hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, because if we don't hear his voice, we're going to follow the stranger, and that's going to lead us to destruction. So today, when we meditate on the coming of Jesus, he's coming back again as a king, as a judge. He's going to execute judgment for those who are walking in unrighteousness in this earth. And I don't want to be a part of that. We're going to have to stand these days with what God says, and we can't be moved by men. The religious system doesn't understand this. The religious system still sees him as the baby coming back to bless us even more. He's blessing us now. He's going to bless us even more, regardless of what we do, what we think, what we believe, because we're Christians. Well, that's not the message. The message is we need to press in, move on, get the victory over the sin, get the victory over our own self-will, get the victory over all those things that take us away from what God is going to do in the earth in that last days. So I appreciate the voice. We are a voice. Dan, you're the voice for this hour for the church to grow them up. And you have a burden. And actually, I have to admit, I haven't always had that burden. As a matter of fact, I had no burden because I was in that disbelief, that cult of once saved, always saved, and live any way you want to live. So I pray that God will lay it on my heart, to weep and to mourn and to cry before the altar for the lives of those people who are being deceived. That we'd be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we'd be able to separate the precious from the vile. And God's just laying it on my heart. If there's someone that comes and says, oh, we all sin. We're talking about believers. We all sin. I sin. Why do you say that you have sin? Why do you walk around saying, I have sin in my life? We need to deal with that sin. That is not a statement of unbelief. That's rebellion against God. Why do we have sin? Deal with it. We need to allow God, call on God to come in and help us in those areas. So he is calling forth a people, and that people that he's calling forth are the ones that's going to call forth him when he comes back to this earth. So keep preaching it, brother. Keep hammering on it. Keep staying on the mark. Stay on. Press into that thing. Keep on doing what God's called you to do. I know it's changing my life, and I know it's changing others. And we need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Brother Harold. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the exhortation. Amen. Thank you. I do something a broken record. I know that. But well, sometimes that's what it takes. Well, I'm glad you're here, brother. If I just get through to one or two people, it'd be worth it. Anybody else have anything on her heart or anything before we shut her down? Alrighty. I'll catch you on that, but she wants a snack. Shh. Well, we'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise. And have a Merry Christmas for those of you who enjoy it. For those of you who don't, I'm sorry. We'll see you.